were prophetic declarations about our life. They were prophetic declarations concerning the coming year. And the Lord would come in and say that, you know, for example, 2017, this is going to be a year of this. And we would sit back and we would receive the words and we would sit back and we would just be in awe as God began to manifest that. And He would manifest it so beautifully. We could, at the end of the year, we could look back and we say, man, the Lord was not slack concerning that prophecy, that prophetic declaration He made over us. And He started doing that several years ago, and I started writing them down and documenting them and keeping them in places and logging them in my heart. And so now we've got to the point where we just start asking the Lord, say, all right, Lord, what's Your words for me for this year? What's Your word for me for this year? And y'all heard me share this before, and some of you, Cindy came up to me the other day, and she said, the other day I started asking the Lord for some words for 2019. And she said, man, it wasn't 2 days and the Lord done gave me a word for 2019. And hers was intentional or intentionality. And I'm praying He'll give you even more. But let's take these things and let's run with these things. And the Lord came in the other day and He dropped He gave me one of my words for 2019. And the word that He gave me for 2019, the prophetic declaration for 2019 over our life. See, I don't just take it as, oh, the Lord gave me a good word. And so that's preaching material. Come on, let's get way deeper than that. You know. When we get these words and all that stuff, it's God's intent and God's declaration for our life. It's His Psalm 139 for our life. And so He came in and He put a word or gave me a word, in the last couple of weeks. The word that He gave me for 2019, the prophetic declaration, I believe going to be many, but the word that He gave me was extraordinary. Extraordinary. I have always been content with saying that at the end of my journey, I want them to be able to say, I've even said they can put this on my headstone, is that He lived a well-lived life. And I've always said, man, I want it to be said at the end of my journey, Nick, that everybody could say, man, that is a well-lived life. We said that about my dad. You know, that was kind of the whole theme of his funeral, was he lived a well-lived life, a life well-lived. And God really came to me and He challenged me and He asked me, He said, is that all you want? And I said, Lord, is there more? He said, extraordinary is more. Extraordinary is more. He said, I don't want you just to come in and be a higher grade of what's normal. Or something added to ordinary. He said, I created you, Psalm 139 is a beautiful backdrop for that. I created you fearfully and wonderfully. I created you in a place of uniqueness. I created you in my image and I stopped heaven and I rested and I said, it is very good now because I made man in my image. And everything about Yahweh, everything that we see about Jesus was extraordinary. The Lord gave me one unusual, it's a verse that we really don't pay much attention to read to you this morning, and it's in John 21, and I'm going to read it. It's the last verse in the book of John in just a second. But I want us to begin, and I'll teach on this next week. I'm really going to do some teaching on this. I just want to kind of drop this in your spirit. But the Lord gave me the backdrop of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. In 1 Kings chapter 10, for the word that He gave me on us living an extraordinary life. And it said that the Queen of Sheba, when she heard of Solomon and the word of the Lord concerning him, or his life concerning the Lord, when she heard of that, not of his power, not of his wealth, not of his armies, not of his fame, not of any of these things, but when she heard his life concerning Yahweh, she said, I got to go see this guy. And so she went, and we read the story in there, and like I say, I'll do some in-depth teaching on this perhaps next week. But as she went and she met him and she spent time with him, the word says that the Lord gave him the... I love this, Anna. The word says that the Lord gave him the gave her all the questions that she had. You remember when Pharaoh had a dream and he forgot the dream that he had? And Joseph came in, and what separated Joseph was Joseph already knew the dream. Not only did he know the interpretation of the dream, but he knew the dream that Pharaoh had forgotten. So he came in and he told her, the Queen of Sheba, all of the desires of her heart. And it so messed with her. And she saw his wealth and she saw his the opulence and she saw all of that stuff. But there's a very interesting verse in there. As she spent time with him, and it says that as she had seen all of his hospitality, the food on his table, I mean, everything. Folks, this extraordinary should be every aspect of our life. This extraordinary should be every aspect of our life. And it says that after Solomon, after Queen of Sheba saw all of this about Solomon, and the way that he ascended up into the house of God to worship, it said it left her breathless. His approach to God, his approach to life, left her breathless. The King James says, without spirit. That pneumatic that God had breathed in her. It drew everything out of her. It left her breathless. And God said, I'm an extraordinary God, and I want you to be an extraordinary people. The definition of extraordinary. Y'all turn in your Bible to John 21. I want to read that one verse. John 21. Actually, two verses. Ooh, I don't want to read. I want to read out of the Passion. What did I do with the Passion? Yeah. I'm going to read this out of the Passion. I love the beauty and the wording of this. The definition of extraordinary. Extraordinary is not a word that's in the Bible. You go to Strong's Concordance, you will not find the word extraordinary. But it is laced throughout the pages of the Bible. The word extraordinary means very unusual or remarkable. But then it comes in and it says, going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. Going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. How many of y'all want to just be a good version of the world out there? That's called sin management. I want to be my best version of me. Y'all ever heard that or made that statement? I understand the sentiment. I want to be my best version of me. I want to be the best me I can be. I want to be the best him that I can be. Beyond what is usual, ordinary, or customary. The last two verses that the Apostle John wrote in his Gospel. He said, I, John, am that disciple who has written these things to testify of the truth. And we know that what I've documented is accurate. Now listen to this. Jesus did countless things that I haven't included here. And if every one of his works were written down and described one by one, I suppose that the world itself wouldn't have enough room to contain the books that would have to be written. How many times we've read that scripture and just kind of blew right through it and said, oh, okay, yeah, cool. But he's saying that Jesus was so extraordinary in his life that the world could not contain the volumes written about it. The Aramaic has got a real beautiful translation of this. I love the poetic look at the Aramaic in this. It says, the world itself would be emptied out into the books that would be written. The world itself would be emptied out into the books that would be written. Everything that's beautiful in the world, everything that's right in the world, everything that's just in the world, everything that's true in the world, everything that is glorious in the world would be emptied out if everything that Jesus said, did, and was were written. He lived such an extraordinary life. Everything that He did was extraordinary. From the conception, to the birth, to the 30 years of seemingly being anonymous, to His 3 years of ministry, to the way that He offered Himself as the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. The other night, Lori and I watched The Passion of the Christ again. I think it's good to go back and revisit some of that stuff. And the way that He walked through being the sacrificial lamb, there wasn't anything customary, ordinary, or regular about that. It was extraordinary. His promise of sending Holy Spirit to dwell within us, it's extraordinary. His preparing us a place of dwelling that we can live in now, as we preached on 2 weeks ago, that we can live in now, it's extraordinary. The uniqueness of our children is extraordinary. The uniqueness of our children is extraordinary. I watch every one of my five grandchildren. And I see extraordinary uniqueness in every one of them. And I'm just amazed. I'm like, wow. God, You did that. I look around and I see the body, the different parts of the body. And yeah, we get frustrated as all get out with each other sometimes. I perceive that they need to be doing this, or they need to be doing that, or they're not doing this, and they need to step up, you know, like we all got our game going on real good. But when I look past all of that, you know what I see? Extraordinary people. Extraordinary people. Quit trying to get in a lane. A lot of times we'll call a rut a lane and we'll say, I'm just staying in my lane. No, you're really in a rut. I'm all about flowing in my lane, allowing God to expand my lane. But we'll get in a rut and we'll say, man, I'm just trying to do life and all of that stuff. Is your life leaving anybody breathless? Does your life look extraordinary? Because Jesus certainly did. And I want us to be in awe of Him. I want us to be in awe in everything He did. But I love that Aramaic translation of that. It said if everything was written about Jesus, about who He was, and what He said and what He did, the whole world would be emptied out. Things that are righteous and just and pure and lovely and beautiful. He tells us to think on these things. They're embodied in Jesus. And they're embodied in us. So I want you to, this next week of what we have left of the holidays, of Christmas and New Year's and some time off from work and spending time with each other and visiting from different places, you know, and going different places. And a lot of our people are gone now to here, there, and all of that stuff. But I want you to come in and I want you to let the word extraordinary bounce around in your life. You say, I don't see anything extraordinary about myself. And you're looking through your lens and not through His lens. See, when Jesus was born in a manger, the world didn't see anything extraordinary about Him. But some shepherds did. Some kings did. We say wise men, they were really kings. They did. Mary and Joseph did. Even from the word that God gave her, it said that she pondered it in her heart. And it oozed extraordinary. And they recognized that. You know how you're going to walk through this this life with hope and joy and peace and all of that stuff? It starts seeing things through heaven's lens and start seeing things with heaven's value system. Because then you'll be able to see things as the extraordinary things that they are. And as you begin to view yourself as extraordinary, your behavior will change. Your approach to life will change. Let that weigh on you. That's huge. If you view yourself as insignificant, if you view yourself as a failure, if you view yourself as rejected, if you view yourself in the light of your humanity, then you'll never see yourself as being extraordinary. Jesus viewed Himself as the Lamb of God. He viewed Himself as heaven's gift. The Word says that He knew where He came from and He knew where He was going to. That's what the Word says about Him, Kenny. He knew that. He viewed Himself through the lens of being extraordinary, and therefore He walked and lived as an extraordinary man. Filled with the Spirit of God, as an extraordinary Messiah when He hung on the cross. As an extraordinary Savior. As an extraordinary Redeemer when He descended into to death, hell, and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And He ascended up to the Father with those keys. Said, I've redeemed. He was an extraordinary Redeemer then. And all these things that Christ walked out, He walked them out through knowing who He was, where He had come from, and where He was going. So I want you this week, just do me a favor. I want you to view those around you through heaven's lens, and it'll be a lens of extraordinary. When you begin to view Jamie as the extraordinary creation that she is, the extraordinary made in His image. And she's been telling you this the whole time. You know, I'm just ready for you to get it, okay? That I'm made in His image and I'm His favorite and I'm extraordinary and I'm smart and I'm beautiful and I'm gifted and all of these things. Start seeing her through that lens. You know what? Your approach to her will be different. Your approach to your children will be different. And your approach to yourself will be different. Your approach to life will be different. When you start viewing yourself and you say, man, I'm extraordinary. God created for me to have an extraordinary life. To live an extraordinary life. Because He's extraordinary. He's extraordinary. So, I'll be honest with you, man. I wasn't viewing my two youngest granddaughters in that light yesterday morning. They were rough. I know y'all were gone doing stuff and all that, but I'm like, alright, dude, I'm ready to either go get out in the pasture and do some work or send them one of the two. They were. But I look today and I'm like, how is that not extraordinary? How is that not extraordinary? I don't know if y'all put the little picture of her and the puppy on social media or anything like that, but how is that not extraordinary? Start seeing that when you, not only when you look at others, but see that when you look in the mirror. I firmly believe that the way that we do life represents, it speaks as to who we are. Our generosity speaks as to we want to go in from the other way and we want to come in and we say, well, I'll address according to what the need is. I'll live according to almost get by with the bare minimum. I can't stand employees like that because you know all they do is they're just making eight. And really all they're doing is making the bare minimum just so they'll get a paycheck on Friday and don't get fired. And I've got some like that and it's all you work with some like that and some of you are those guys. You're not saying you're good. But when you start coming through life, because Jesus did. My generosity speaks as to who I am. The way I host speaks as to who I am. Our consistency speaks as to who I am. All of us. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us. My faithfulness speaks as to who I am. All these things were what Jesus did in living an extraordinary life. So I want to let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. I know I'm taking that a bit out of context, but I think it's very applicable. Start viewing yourself as extraordinary and living as extraordinary. Because He certainly did. And this season certainly is. We'll read this definition one more time. Going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. Everything about the Lord, that's Him. Everything about Him, that's Him. Let that be about us. And let that be about what we see. As we see the beauty in each other. We see the hope in each other. We see the potential in each other. We see the glory in each other. Because when we walk in that, then we're walking in His Spirit and His essence. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll get down and dirty on some 1 Kings chapter 10 teaching on this probably next Sunday. Thank you, brother. Eric's been extraordinary right now. I want us to come down as a family, a body, and partake of communion together. This is extraordinary. You say, man, that's just unleavened bread. It represents the body of Christ. This speaks as to Him coming and becoming flesh. And walking as one of us for 33 years. Dying as one of us on Calvary's cross. But the difference is His holiness. His sinless life, His sinless body, the purity in Him. I could not do that, but He did for me. So in me being in Him, I find His holiness. I find acceptance from Yahweh. I find ability to approach and have real relationship. The gap that the sin curse caused has been bridged. Extraordinary. This grape juice we're about to drink, it's Welch's or Juicy Juice or something like that. Ocean Spray. It's grape juice. But it represents righteous blood that was shed for us. Even when we weren't extraordinary, when our actions weren't extraordinary, when our attitude toward God wasn't extraordinary, when our attitude toward man wasn't extraordinary, that He shed that blood anyway. Backdrop Psalm 139. So there's nothing ordinary about that. So we want to come in and we want to partake of this as a body and receive it, receive Him. This is our yes to Him and our yes to everything that He did. So I don't know the best way to do this. We've got several things, containers of grape juice. I've got one of this. Man, let's... Hey, Jeffrey, can we split this up? If we got another one, we can split this up. I don't know if it's in there. Look and see. It's not. Okay, I thought they got it. It's in the kitchen. Start passing that around. Scott, will you grab one of these? Start working that side over there. Randy, will you start, get that and start working around in here? Hey, Nick, will you get this and start working that side? Thank you, brother. This that you're about to partake of, that's your inheritance. That blood that you're holding in your hand, that's your inheritance. It's my inheritance in Him. Thank you, brother. Will you start on that side? Here, Robin, you don't have a baby in your arms. Start on that side. Go ahead and catch them. Yeah, those guys over there. I know it'd be smoother if Tyler was playing a guitar right now. But think about what you're holding. Think about what's around you. Think about that crew that's around you right now. Because that's your inheritance, but that's y'all's inheritance. That's your inheritance. It's His gift to you. And you know what they need? They don't need customary. They don't need regular. They need extraordinary. They need an extraordinary dad. An extraordinary man of God. And an extraordinary vessel of the Holy Spirit. That's what they need. That's what they need. Judah asked me something last night, which it kind of caught me off guard, Judah. Sorry, man. It's if you're going to be around me, it's going to get thrown out there a lot. But we were up in the upper room last night. I don't know if you heard this night, Nick. I know it was late when you got in. We were up in the upper room last night. We were decorating Christmas cookies and all that stuff. And Judah asked me, he says, you're my dad's dad, right? And I was like, yeah, man, yeah. He used to live right here in this room and all that stuff. He said, that means you're my granddad then, right? And I said, yes, sir, I am. Absolutely I am. Absolutely I am. You know what that did in that moment? All of a sudden that put another mantle of responsibility on me and in my life. And it doesn't just stop with that. Because if I'm her dad and her granddad, and you're her dad and her granddad, but I look around this, and if I'm a man in the kingdom and a man in this house, then I'm surrounded by spiritual children and grandchildren. It's not just cool when all the little ones call you Gigi and they look at you as being Gigi. That's a mantle of responsibility on you. To be what? Extraordinary. To be extraordinary. Quit thinking I'm going to take care of my own family. And that's all that's required of me. The whole world is screaming for you to be extraordinary. Remember what it said about Jesus in John 21, 24, and 25? That if all the volumes were written about everything that Jesus was, said, and did, then the whole world would be emptied. That's what the world's crying. The Word says that all of creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. That doesn't mean I just walk in this place of man, I'm doing good. I'm providing for my family and all that stuff. And we go on cool vacations and all that stuff. All the world is crying out for you to be extraordinary, Brandon. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Because Jesus was. So extraordinary that the world would be emptied if everything was written about Him. Because there's nothing in existence that doesn't look like see Him in that. The ducks that fly in. The fish we catch. The laughter of our children. I know she ain't always precious, but she's precious right now. Yeah. That's sweetness right there. That's extraordinary. That's extraordinary. But it cries out for you to be extraordinary. And you're about to, you say, how can I be extraordinary by what you hold in your hand? I'm tying all this together. How can you be extraordinary by what you hold in your hand? Because Cindy, in our own right, we cannot be good enough for our grandchildren. But what you hold in your hand right here, that enables and empowers you to be extraordinary for them. It empowers you to be extraordinary for them. Not only for them, but for him. I want him to be breathless by you. Breathless by you. Breathless by you. In a couple days, man, you're going to be standing at 10,000 feet. I know the view that you're going to be seeing, because I'll be out there in 2 weeks myself, same view. And you're going to look out over the backside of that Wasatch Range. And it captivates you. But there's how many students at Bremen High School, when they look at your life, they should be just as captivated as your life, the way you do life. It said when she saw the way that Solomon ascended into his approach to his God, his worship in the temple, that it left her breathless. The only way you can do that is by what you hold in your hand. But with that, absolutely. With that, absolutely. Know that, girls. Know that. Know that. Thank you, my brother. Jesus, you're extraordinary. Look at this bread, and Jesus, you're extraordinary. You're extraordinary as a baby in a manger that we're celebrating this week. You're extraordinary as a man on the cross. Extraordinary as a risen Savior. Extraordinary in the person of the Holy Spirit. Extraordinary. And I take your extraordinary so that I can be extraordinary. My yes to you is my yes to your extraordinary. And I receive that today so that I can release that into the world. To take, eat, this is my body that was given for you. During the Passover celebration, they said where they sacrificed all of the lambs, there was one particular place where they sacrificed the lambs. And they said literally a river of blood would flow from that. But that blood that flowed from that was ordinary. But the blood that flowed from his body, that was sprinkled on the mercy seat, was not ordinary. It was extraordinary. And Jesus, I partake of your extraordinary righteousness that only you, John made that declaration, behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Up to that point, it could only mask it. He took it away. Because it was extraordinary. And the Word says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So we receive that extraordinary, perfect, pure blood that was shed for us. Drink, this is His blood that was shed for you. Man, I'm going to ask you guys to slide together and join hands with the person next to you. I want you to do two things this holiday season and this coming year. Everybody that you're holding their hand, I want you to recognize extraordinary in them. Recognize extraordinary in them. See, you can do it in Him because of your love for Him. But can you do it for her? So, yeah, I love Robin. I can do it for Robin. What about those that you really don't even like? So I want you to see extraordinary in the life of others. See extraordinary in the life of others. But then I want you to facilitate an atmosphere, not a Petri dish, because that's an experiment, but a garden where that can grow and flourish. I want this house to be a house. You say, what's the heartbeat of this house? I want this house to be such a garden that everybody comes, whether it's a Blake House guy for 10 months, 10 weeks, 10 days, a visitor that comes in here for one service, as they come in, and such an atmosphere is created and facilitated that they would see an extraordinary God and see the potential for extraordinary in their life. So believe that for each other. Receive that from each other. Facilitate that in each other's lives. Father God, we come to You tonight, this morning, and I'm, Lord, so thankful for this season. Because the thing that I feel like makes Christmas special, Father, is that somewhere in this we typically have the capacity to push things aside and to look at what's really important. We have the capacity to stop being caring and being consumed about the everyday life and in enjoying each other and enjoying our children and our grandchildren and our friends and those that are around us. And I'm so thankful for this season. I'm thankful for this week. I'm thankful for, Lord, the breath on all of that is the hope we have in You. And this morning, Father, I pray that everyone would recognize and receive the inheritance that they have in You. And that they would especially feel hope. They would especially feel love. They would especially feel peace. And in that, they'll feel the joy of their salvation. And I pray that that would just wash over every person that's in this room. The ones that are not with us today, that are at family functions or out of town, I pray that same blessing over them, Father. Same blessing over them. And Lord, as we join each other's hands, Father, let us connect with each other and realize that we're in this together. That we're running this race together. We are running this race together. That we're releasing kingdom life into this world together. And God, I pray that we would just see, we would see Your greatness in each other's lives. And we would help facilitate that. That we would be an extraordinary people because You're an extraordinary God. Lord, we love You and we lift You up. And I just declare your rest and your peace over these people this afternoon. Even in the midst of business, I just declare that rest and that peace on them. In Jesus' sweet name, amen and amen. You guys have an awesome